live.
Hey, Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and David Sis Boombaugh with you for the next 2 hours. We'll start off this hour on the Leaf Edition. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m. If you don't catch us live, download us at any time. After dinner.
Yeah.
Walking the dog.
That's a great time.
Okay. Going for a stroll with your wife is a good time to download us.
And listen to
and
it
listen
on
to
air
our show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Just hold her hand. Mm-hmm. It'll be enough. Trust me.
And listen to Kip and I yell at each other about sports.
That's it. So, we sit and wait.
Is there a Leafs hour still?
It is the Leaf hour.
We're still doing it?
We are still doing it.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Well, is there anything else to say?
Is there anything else to say, Sammy, about the Leafs season? Is there anything going on with the Leafs?
Okay, you want to know what's going on in my brain?
Oh, God.
There's a lot, first of all. But hockey-wise, we'll just stick hockey-wise.
Kazoos and ping-pong balls?
Yeah. I watched the Boston Bruins play the Florida Panthers last night. And I was like, are the Leafs elite defensively?
Oh, no.
I thought the Panthers.
Oh, no.
I'm like, maybe they shouldn't fire Sheldon. What is going on? I'm all twisted up, boys.
When you're wired like we are to present an hour show daily.
Everything is content. Grist right? for the mill, as Jeff Merrick says.
And then you go to... Last night, you're watching, but you're not watching like you're watching to prepare for an hour show on the Boston Bruins or the Florida
Panthers.
No, it's
what does this say about the Maple Leafs? What does this moment say?
So I was on at an establishment I was at after baseball last night, so I had it on. I didn't watch as closely. And then it was on my in-house feed here today when I got into the office, saw from the start, watched the whole game over again. So I watched it twice, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the Leafs did a better job of limiting them defensively. Maybe Sheldon Keefe's systems are actually better than we once thought, and maybe we should run it back.
Oh, my God. It took 18 hours or something. Oh,
twist it up, boys. Yeah. I don't know what to think.
All right. We're pretty much 24 hours past Sheldon's comments yesterday, meeting the media, player availability. We heard some. Yes, we talked about everything from Mitch Marner's "We are God's" comment.
Did you see, we talk about the Toronto Sun. Did you see the Toronto Sun cover?
No, I
didn't. Oh, my God. You guys did it?
No.
Oh, it was so good. It was OMG, and it had him reaching out with a hockey glove and the other finger.
Oh, doing the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. Totally, I mean, that's as good as it gets.
Totally taken taken right out of it. Like, just
of course,
run with it, right?
Yes.
Just run with it.
Buddy,
run
we're not
you
the
want.
It's Toronto Sports Sun. Media, buddy. We got to run...
It's been a hell of a playoff run for the cover of the Toronto Sun.
They've been hot.
You know,
they've been hot.
Really, MVPs.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
They've been hot. Yeah,
maybe MVP.
Sure. The only people that come out ahead.
So between that and what we heard from yesterday, any afterthoughts or Morgan Riley's comments we didn't really talk about I thought Morgan was great yesterday too.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, come on, am I really going to do this? Am I going to tell you how close I think we are.
Yeah, we played that one yesterday.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just listening to it again, over and over again, I think he had the perfect, like, we don't know how close we are. We can't get out of the first round. How can I sit here and tell you how close we are?
So you don't think the captain...
Can someone tell me he's hurt?
So you don't think the captain coming out and saying, we're right there, was the right thing to say?
Listen, John's...
A robot?
John's different.
He's a robot.
He's programmed differently. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you were to build a hockey player, you know, you'd have those sound bites programmed in.
Yes. It's Woody in Toy Story.
He doesn't leave. He doesn't.
There's a snake in my boots.
He does not get out of his lane. Right?
We're right there.
It's like, you know, his favorite word to use in his post-game comments is obviously, because it's obviously is safe to him. Can't get in trouble using the word obviously, because I know it, you know it, everybody knows it.
I think you just said something important, whether you knew it or not. Safe. Mm-hmm. Everything about this organization, the players, the comfort, it's all safe.
Obviously,
you know,
it's a tremendous
honor. Nylander says, we believe that, you know, this core four can do it. We believe that, you know, we're good. John says, we're right there. They just keep everything the same. We're all comfortable. We all have our spots. Mm-hmm. We're all gods here. Yeah. We're all comfortable. Yeah. And maybe it should be a little less safe.
Well, and that's where we're going to get to this Friday, where MLSE President and CEO Keith Pelley, Maple Leaf President and Alternate Governor Brendan Shanahan, and Maple Leaf General Manager Brad Treliving will be together, available at the Ford Performance Center Friday at 10:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And there's not a snowball's chance in hell they're going to come out and be that safe guy anymore, or that safe organization anymore. It just, that won't fly Friday, JB.
Obviously, no.
It won't fly. I don't know if that means that they won't do it. The one thing I'm growing more convinced of, I'm not convinced that it's the end of the line for Shanahan, right? They've announced him now for Friday to be there alongside Keith Pelley.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
Shanny?
Yeah.
Okay.
To I would JB's say that's point, news if that if
to
that's
JB's point.
Yeah.
How do you present him Saturday?
Yeah.
I 100% expect Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan and Keith Pelley to be all aligned mm-hmm. on the message Friday.
What do you make of the move of the press conference? Is there anything newsy to you there? Is there anything interesting? Like, because it was announced that it was going to be just management. There was no names involved, and they announced it for Thursday. And then yesterday, they tweet out from their super secret media account that I get to follow that it's going to be on Friday, and they named everybody. Yeah. So for them to switch a press conference, are they looking for the Friday news dump? They're going to do it at 5:30 p.m. on a Friday or something? It's very interesting they moved it.
Listen, whether somebody's got a dentist appointment or they're shopping for a coach, it buys them time.
It buys them time. Buys them time to gather facts, come up with a message, get a sense for the market, let things cool down a breath.
Time.
Because that's when the three of them say, we understand it's not good enough. We understand it's a results-based business. That's why we're moving on from the coach today. And that's why we're going to continue to, all options are open, you know, in terms of players. No one is safe.
Well, I think we're going to hear the word disappointment a lot. We're going to hear the word patience, or we're running out of patience. Mm. But that patient word will be used, I think.
Results has to come up.
On Friday, unacceptable will be used. And then we're going to hear that there's lots of positives, right? We're going to hear Matthew Knives' positivity. We'll hear Easton Cowan, Minton. We'll hear those. We got some names coming up. We're not going to be
angry at this press conference you're creating right now.
No.
Yes, they are.
Well, listen. Okay, yeah, they are. But
you talking, like you doing like your little pretend press conference over there, I'm just starting to steam. I'm like, I'm not ready for this. Can they do it next Friday? Can they push this to Friday of the long weekend where I can just be like, I'm out of here?
I'm just trying to prepare you guys a little bit here. That's all.
I don't think.
Who knows? By then, maybe Thursday they fire Sheldon and Friday they announce Craig Berube. I don't know. Mm. I think I don't know how much time there is for that, but I don't get the sense that a Keith Pelley right now is sitting there going, well, we got to give him something by Friday. I think it's going to be a low event kind of Friday. I don't think he feels pressure to make Sammy feel better by firing anybody.
Do you think Shanahan, with having one season left on his contract, would be, if you're not getting rid of him, then are you keeping him longer or...
Right now, I get
walk him to UFA.
Right now, I get a sense that it's a non-issue.
Yeah,
Brendan's contract status is not an issue.
Obviously, he knows where the bodies are buried and everything that's happened the last decade. So I'm sure he's a great resource still to Keith Pelley, and to cut that off without having him around for a while is probably not great. Well, so
I think, you know, Brendan Shanahan is an incredibly impressive guy.
For sure. And I totally agree.
You're around him. And like, I went to like a Sportsnet Cup thing, like in the middle of the season, and you don't really hear him talk a whole lot. Right.
Yeah.
And then we were there with a bunch of different clients from all the different Sportsnet stuff. And he came in and he talked to everybody for like 25 minutes, took questions, answered questions. And
it's just at an Ivy Sports conference too. He's great.
And you just hear him talk about hockey.
Yeah.
And if you're Keith Pelley, you're like, oh my God, like you get why you'd want to stick with it. He's an impressive guy. He's like, it's Brandon Shanahan. He's got over 600 goals, cups, Hall of Famer, unbelievable.
The only thing you have against him is they haven't won. Otherwise, exactly. It's been a well-run organization that makes the playoffs.
One round win.
Which is pretty important.
And so it is.
It's still hard to kind of talk your way out of that, too.
It is, but the president, I don't think of as being as responsible for the product as I do general managers. Until recently, presidents didn't seem to have anything to do with it.
Again, this goes into the conversations that Brendan's had with Keith Pelley. Like, hey, I entrusted Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
He made those trades. I didn't, and I'm here left holding the bag. Maybe that makes me a wiser man moving forward. Mm-hmm. We don't know where those conversations are, where they begin and end on total accountability and where things had Brendan Shanahan's fingerprints on them and where they didn't. So the one thing that we did talk about yesterday, at least I did, is that there's different scenarios for change that doesn't include Brendan Shanahan losing his job, meaning i.e. a coach, meaning i.e. a player personnel, right? Behind the scenes organizational status of, do we need new scouts? Do we need different visions for free agencies and all of that? So change can come in many forms. I think they're gonna mention that there will be changes, that we're out of patience.
That'll be important to emphasize.
Right. And that may be enough. Now
that may be enough.
Listen, yeah.
That they say they're gonna do it.
Not be enough for you, Sandy.
Well, they're going to go political on this and like make false promises and be like, yeah, we'll change the scouts. And it's like, that's not running it back.
They won't finger point anything. They'll just say that we're making changes and this is unacceptable. And that has to be enough for you, Sammy, because that's the way it works. That's the politics of the game.
So I can't think, how much time are they like working with the PR groups and everything to prepare for this press conference? Because I can't think, I mean, we did last year after the Leafs lost in the second round where we got that electric Kyle Dubas press conference. And then
he wasn't even supposed to speak. He chose to.
And then he got fired. And then they had the Shanahan one, which was one of the most unbelievable press conference I could ever remember doing in this business. It was amazing. But I can't think of a press conference that has more anticipation than this Friday. Like, I know it's probably going to be a similar message, but like heading into it, to let it rot for this long, you're letting us sit here. We're going to do, what day is it today? Tuesday? We're doing three more shows talking about a press conference. Everybody's writing, talking, podcast, everything.
Care. And you're going to get an NPR level thrill ride of...
They don't care. But why don't they care, Kipper?
Because
why don't they care what people think about them? That's the whole thing. I know I'm just a fan.
I'm not being that smug to say no one cares. It's just not... The priority is to look after the mass that are screaming at the top of their lungs. That's not the first thing. The first thing is to do is what is best for the organization. And that's Keith Pelley coming in. He officially took the job in April.
Okay. Yeah.
So now do people really expect that he comes in April? And I know that he probably asked a lot of questions behind the scenes to prepare for this. But do you really expect him to have come in and said, well, if they lose in the first round, I'm firing this guy. Or if they get to a conference final, he gets to stay. Or if he wins the Stanley Cup, I give him a lifetime contract. Mm-hmm. So
you guys talk hockey with people. Hasn't the perception to you been that like, oh, Pelly's coming in here to be the guy that the Grim Reaper thing? Like, that's the perception I get from fans. That's what people think about him.
So is Keith Pelley now going to let Brendan Shanahan go and not have a replacement for him? Or is the replacement that, to Elliot's point, you eliminate the president's job and you just keep in the hands of Brad Treliving now?
I don't know. I don't know if I want that either, boys.
That's right. So if you're sitting there going, I don't want that either, and I don't have a replacement ready, then you do what they're doing now.
Yeah, you need to keep things running along smoothly while you're learning, while you're making decisions. It's, the brash fire guy and then figure it out. That's probably not the right move. So I do think that he'll be around. And then I do think that means they know they have to do something, and that affects Sheldon. Now, Sheldon tonight is being honored for the Brampton Hall of Fame, I believe, which I could see them not wanting him to fire him on the way to this ceremony for him. Like, I could see them hanging on there. Otherwise, what would you be waiting for if it were to happen?
You're waiting for his replacement to find the right replacement for him. And that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
You're making calls. I do believe that there was some connection between the Leafs and Craig Berube this week.
Let me ask you.
They wouldn't be doing their homework if there was not.
Mm-hmm.
They may be in a race for a Craig Berube right now with the LA Kings.
Mm. He's the biggest fish on the market right now, no doubt about it. Are we sure he's the right coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, that's a conversation all in itself.
I know it is.
Right?
That's what I'm trying to have.
But once you get by Craig Berube, you're left with Todd McClellan, Gerard Gallant, and then what? And are you convinced any of those names is better than Sheldon Keefe right now?
Oh, only guy.
Oh, right? Boy.
Are you listening?
I'm sure.
So I'm not.
My run it back radar is.
Right? I know your run back radar is blinking right now, but are you listening to what I'm saying?
100%. And that's why I'm panicking.
It's just not changing. It's who's up and who's better. And can you say definitively this guy's better than that guy?
No.
Or are you saying that
you don't need to anymore?
You just need to make a change. The decision is just make a change. And second is if he's better or worse with.
Yeah, I mean, if you think guys are fairly equal, you have to be different. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. The one I do wonder about, you know, they've done the whole spend all the money to land the big guy on the market before with Babcock. Rod Brind'Amour is the only guy who seems to have that accountability, honesty, intensity, this sort of thing that it feels like this core needs, who is not under contract. Is there any chance you could talk Rod Brind'Amour into it? No.
I don't know what's changed. He didn't take the New York Ranger job, and he could have wrote last his year. Own Babcock contract at $6 million. Didn't want it. And last I heard, whatever contract was tabled that was pulled off is back on right now. Owner knows Rod doesn't want to go anywhere. Rod knows he doesn't want to go anywhere.
But to me, it's a matter of him getting offended. Like, if you ground me like the way, if I were Rod Brind'Amour and they were like, we're trying to get you 30% below market value and grinding you over an extra $50,000 or whatever the number may be, I'd be like, you know what? I don't even care about the money anymore.
Listen, the mere fact he's still there after all these years already working with that owner tells you that that's not the way he thinks.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he's probably right to think that. It's smart. He wants to be there. His family's there. He's happy.
What did he make as a player?
Yeah.
$60 million?
You're right. And I have a lot of respect for Rod Brind'Amour making that decision, having those priorities.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a point where you're like, all right, man.
Now, Berube, as a Stanley Cup champion, can come in and say, hey, don't even think twice that we're starting below 5x5. So he's in that category now.
So
Ottawa, as we saw with Travis Green, I think they probably capped out their salary at around 1.2, 1.5.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awfully affordable.
Well, listen, they fired, they're still paying Dorian. They still had to pay DJ Smith. So that's a budget move, too, in Ottawa.
Don't you feel like that's disheartening if you're a Sens fan? That you're like, oh, great. Like, you know, we're shopping on the bulk barn again?
It's just the reality of business. That's all.
By the way, the Blues last 2 years did not qualify for playoffs, That cup will carry you a long way.
So
sure hope he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next question, and the one that you kind of alluded to there. If it is, you know, if they are talking to Berube, and it seems like there's a lot of buzz out there about it, is that the right move? I'll ask you two that guys that. Like, what do you...
Here's what I do think on a positive side, Sam. I think that Berube is someone who will look at the stars here and say, go kick rocks. You know, if he doesn't like how they're playing, doesn't like their attitude, I think you could see the first William Nylander healthy scratch. You know, like I think you could see something that people in Toronto have been like, can we please hold the Stars accountable.
Yeah.
I think he would do that.
I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for guys like you and long term, and for them, that if Brendan's back and Sheldon's back, and let's say Mitch Marner doesn't like the teams that he's being offered on a trade, and he starts the season, that's probably too much of the same look. And judging by what I'm thinking about Friday's conference, will not match up with what needs to be said Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they're able to land a coach that they're comfortable with, that would push buttons and be a lot more consistent on making some of the Stars nervous in November and January and April, then they make a coaching change.
Make no mistake, a lot of the Leafs' first-round failings are the way they perform in the regular season and where they get seeded. The Vancouver Canucks weren't amazing the first round, but they got the Preds. You know, the Preds are good, but they're not amazing. You know, the Rangers get the Capitals in the first round because they have a great regular season. The Leafs haven't done that.
Carolina got the Islanders because they were great.
They haven't put themselves in a spot where the first round isn't a knockdown, drag-out war of attrition.
But yeah, I mean, that's the Atlantic Division. Like, you know, there's a lot of great teams where they've been a really good team, but they've just kind of been stuck in this scenario. I don't know. I get what you're saying, and it's been. I agree with it.
You
but
finish
it's just,
in first, you don't have to play in the Atlantic. You get the wild card too.
Wouldn't you get Tampa?
This year, you would have. But if you they had finished where ahead of the Rangers in points or whatever, then you don't. So, but I know your point. The Atlantic's been tough, but they've done it over multiple years where they haven't given themselves an easy enough first round opponent.
For me, and there are parts of Sheldon I like, and I think I've seen growth out of his coaching over the years. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he can't get over the hump in the playoffs, and there needs to be some sort of accountability on that. And if it costs him his job, then
it's tough to imagine him coming back and doing it again. Like, it's just, it's not that it's impossible or that I think he's not a good coach. You guys know how I feel about that. But
to me, the key in all of this is less about the coach, even less about Brendan Shanahan, but player personnel. They've never gotten it right. And it goes back to that simple argument. Can you win with four guys taking up half your salary in the forward position? And come Friday, you know, whether it's Brendan says it himself or someone asks him, he's got to come clean. I tried. I hung in there with the core four. You were all right. I was wrong. But I'm going to fix it now.
Wow. You think he would say that?
I don't know. I would.
I wrote an article today.
But then I'd have 100 of his millions of dollars in my bank and I wouldn't give a crap.
But here's the thing, though. I think that's why people, if he stays, right, will have a hard time believing that the philosophy would change. That is his, like, core belief. Not to use the core term here, but we thought it was Dubas that was the core four guy. We thought that, like, but it seems that it was coming from above him even. Like, Dubas believed it, we can and we will, but it feels like it's Brendan as well. Like, is he really going
to... Did you ever, like, to your point now, like, when Sheldon always spoke about, you know, is there going to be a change, a goalie change, or, you know, it's like we, right? It's never, it's my call. It's always, we're going to take it back. We're going to discuss as a group. So yes, that's the way it works. Most of the time it's
super Brendan's collaborative.
There.
Yeah.
Brendan's there. Brad's there. And then, you know, there's stuff that Sheldon was told.
Part of the...
Not asked, told.
Part of the idea when Kyle Dubas took over the Leafs was, how do we wield our financial might as an organization to gain edges on other organizations off the ice? And that involved hiring a lot of people, a lot of opinions, a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of specialists, a lot of whatever. So I do think that it's very... Yeah. It's a lot from
Did
too many
work?
People.
Did it work?
No. Didn't work.
But you got some great meals out of it. Some really good chefs.
I did too. Oh. So the morning buffets are unbelievable.
So you think
at least they ate well.
Oh, yeah.
So you think that Brendan would be ready to go off of his core philosophy of the core four if he was remaining in place?
I don't know if it'll get that specific, but I don't know if he wants to do that or not. And the other thing too is you got to be careful, too, of the message that you want to send. You still got a guy in Mitch Marner under contract. You still got your captain under contract for another year. So any message you get out of that press conference will go directly into their lap, and they're going to have to deal with it, and they're going to hear, how does this affect me? And then you're going to also tell 31 other teams, you're saying that you're going to have to get rid of one of those guys, so I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make you an offer that is on my terms, not yours, because you're already told the world that you're going to make a change. Mm-hmm. You know, you kabukied yourself.
Yeah.
What? I haven't heard that before. But
I hear you.
I've never heard kabuki.
No. I've heard it. I have heard it, and I have no idea if the context is
probably
right or not, but
used
I have
that
heard
word
it.
In 20 years. Someone's going to say it's a very bad word.
I was going to say, it probably is.
I hope it wasn't a bad word.
Yeah. Either way, we're pleading ignorance.
Totally.
The article I wrote today was on tree living in the deadline and how, you know, the old expression, no half measures. It was such a half measure trade deadline where he didn't believe in this team enough to go all in, but he knew that he couldn't bail on the team and say, yeah, we're not going to add anything. And they kind of added a couple of depth-y in Connor Dewar, you know, and then you get middling results, which is what the Minnesota Wild have been. And then you never pick high. It's what his Calgary Flames have been. Same kind of thing where you just went, are we sure?
Could Chris Tanev have gotten you past Boston Bruins?
Yes.
Ooh, that was a fast yes.
I mean,
Chris Tanev played 23-21 per game for the Dallas Stars, killed penalties, and leads the playoffs in block shots.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said yesterday, he's on the ice for
the truth is,
every
we'll
good
never
thing.
Know.
We'll never know. How about Zadorov? You don't get any goals from your back end here. Zadorov scores two big goals with the Calgary, New York, Vancouver Canucks, whoever it was, different team. He's been on lots of teams.
Yeah.
But that would have just been
Adam Henrique.
That would have just been simply to give up a first rounder.
Yeah.
Right.
How about Wenberg?
Back end for me. Back end.
Their center scoring in the first round. I mean, not that Wenberg scores, but if you could have put him in the D zone, so you could have put your boy Mitch and JT in the other end of the rink, maybe that gets you a goal.
The truth is, though, Brad was gun-shy because of the damage that Kyle Dubas left him with.
And that's essentially what I wrote is there's self-protection going on there.
I can't blame him. Like, watch, you're not giving up first and seconds.
But you can't blame him from a Brad Tree Living perspective. Like, they didn't have a great first round opponent. If they go in a bit more, maybe that's the difference. And maybe there's three more home dates for Keith Pelly and MLSE to cash receipts. You know, like, it's a big deal to move on and to take those risks. And they didn't have the chutzpah to do it this year.
Like,
I mean, these are great points. And like, I think my thoughts on Dubas are very clear. But I don't really have full thoughts on Treliving because it hasn't been a long time that they've been with it. I'm open for interpretation with him. I could go either way. But what you wrote today in talking about the deadline, it is a conversation. Like, their penalty kill was brutal, and they brought in Dewar to try to fix that, but it clearly wasn't enough. They brought in Edmonton to fix it. Wasn't enough. Didn't get a puck mover. Like, there was some misses.
I think he didn't believe in the team and said, I'm not spending too much on this.
For sure.
The issue, too, which you could clearly see is, okay, you had your core, or let's just say, you know, from the draft perspective, there was Marner, Willie, and Matthews. Mm-hmm. But now they're 6 years, 7 years in. There wasn't enough of gap guys underneath them to support them, with the exception of maybe Matthew Nyes. And then, like,
Bert was supposed to be. Domi was supposed to be.
But there's a lot of Pontus Holmberg.
Not from your draft. Mm-hmm. Not from your first and second picks after Marner, Matthews, and Nylander.
Yeah.
We'll exclude Tavares because he was a free agent.
But that's a bunch of the cap problems,
They gave those away. There was never guys to come up underneath them through the system, through the draft. They waited so long for Liljegren, who never came in as a top four guy, legit.
Right.
Sandin.
It was supposed to be Kasperi Kapanen. It was supposed to be Connor Brown, Zach Hyman. It was supposed to be Andreas Johnsson.
Dallas now. Wyatt Johnson and Thomas Harley. Like, those guys are like stars, and they're 21. Where are the Leafs guys to help Marner, Matthews, and Nylander.
Seth Jarvis would have been nice.
That's why everyone yelling at us, well, me in particular, for being like, Liljegren is, I don't know, take him or leave him, dress him or not. You know, what's he going to be?
He's a bottom pair guy.
When it's like, he's coming. He's no. Okay, what do you think he's going to be?
At what point is this going to flip into him being really good?
Right, like really good guys tend to be pretty good young. Yeah. He's like passable now. And I think he's going to have a good year next year and the year after. I actually do, and I'm not just saying that. It's just, he's not a needle mover. He's fine. He's your 10th number five D-man. You're right, Kip. They didn't have any huge hits. McMahon has become that for them. And they're going to bank on that. And Nyes is going to hopefully be that. And you're hoping Cowan or Minton, one of the two of them, give you something.
Easton Cowan heading to the OHL finals.
We'll get into that. We'll take a quick break here.
Yeah, let's take a break.
And then when we return, we'll talk about ways that they can improve, because unfortunately, it's not through the cupboards right now. So we'll talk Easton Cowan. We'll talk free agency and what we can expect.
We have Luke, too. Luke Fox is joining us.
Oh, and we got Luke Fox.
He's going to join us.
And at the top of the hour,
we got Marty Turco talking about the Dallas Stars. The charcuterie board killer himself.
Charcuterie board. All right. Salami, cheese, and Marty Turco at the top of the hour. Can't wait. More real Kipper and Bourne when we return.
The best Blue Jay show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's welcome in Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I know you've covered a few of these exit interviews, end of the season. What did you get out of yesterday? How did it differ from any other one you've covered?
You know what, Nick? I think that one of the biggest things was that it didn't differ that much. It felt like the same old people asking the same old questions, getting the same old answers from the same players. I think that's what struck me, is just how familiar it all felt. You dig a little bit deeper, and I think the lack of accountability, which I believe is kind of a top-down culture thing with this organization right now, that stuck out. It didn't surprise me, but it stuck out. Just not enough. Hey, I could have been better. I should have scored more goals. I need to find a way to push through. It was kind of, we're close. Or there was even mention about the penalty kill making improvements throughout the series, or the power play getting some good looks in game 7. And it's just a little bit of read the room. You know, there's a disconnect, it feels to me, between the players and the fan base. And I think they missed a lot of the right notes. I will say that Samsonov, you know, didn't make any excuses right after the game. He said, luck is for losers. He's like, you can't talk about good luck or bad luck. And I thought that was a great line. But, you know, he's probably not on this roster next year. So I don't know what him taking responsibility means. And then the other big thing was just Sheldon Keefe. You know, it's my understanding he didn't have to speak, but he spoke, and you could tell it was tough for him. It was you could feel the emotion right from the beginning, and he wanted to make some comments, taking responsibility before he even answered a single question. So I think he showed a lot of character, which is, you know, his team showed some character, fighting back to get to Game 7. I just have serious issues with the roster construction, and you know, I'm not alone, but my doubts that they're going to eventually barge through this door with the same group is the doubts are high.
I'm now vaguely remembering a column you wrote earlier in the season that expressed some skepticism about the team. Was that this season or the year before?
The year before, but I may have copied it. I may have copied and pasted it.
Changed the date.
So, go ahead.
No, it's just, I just think you take half your cap, you put it in five guys. It's a team sport. You need to spread the wealth a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. So Sheldon had, And it was optional for him to speak. That is the understanding, that he didn't need to come out there and talk. That would have been really fascinating had he not spoken, would it not?
Well, I get it probably would have raised more questions. I mean, there's already questions.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. This is the second offseason in a row where they've just let the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs twist in the wind. You know, I understand there's a lot of decision makers behind the scenes. I'm sure there's board meetings and committees, and there's a lot of voices before any decision is made with this hockey team. But good on Sheldon to be out there taking the bullets. You know, and it almost felt like he was applying for his next job.
Oh.
Kind of saying, he even said, we were joking after, remember Mike Babcock is always going to bet on Mike Babcock? Remember that line?
Yes.
Sheldon Keefe didn't speak of himself in the third person, but he did say, I believe in myself. I believe I will win. I believe this team will win. Mm-hmm. And I like that conviction, you know, acknowledging your mistakes, your failings, but saying to the hockey world, I will be better for this. And I think he's a good coach. I just think it's time for a fresh voice for this group.
We're talking to Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. So, Luke, Friday we do know that CEO of MLSE, Keith Pelley, Brendan Shanahan, and Brad Treliving will get together at the Ford Performance Center on Friday, 10:30 a.m. I had mentioned that I believe that they'll all be aligned in terms of the vision moving forward. What do you expect?
It seems to me like it's like a united front. Like, hey, we're all in this together. We're going to get this team on the right track together. I think, and rightfully so, one of the biggest questions coming out of this, eighth playoff series, postseason series loss in 9 tries, like 1-8 with this group, is has the Shanna plan failed? Does he need to go? And the fact that he's going to be there and Pelly's going to be there lends me to believe, and we'll wait and see what they have to say, but it would suggest to me that Shanahan is safe for at least a year and Pelly's taking his time, not unlike the way Treliving took his time, right? You have that shield. I'm not going to fire Sheldon right away, because if I fire him, then I use a bullet and the attention starts to turn towards me. If Pelley keeps Shanahan, hey, I have a shield in front of me. I have a card to play down the road if I keep Shanahan.
So what's your first question at the press conference? You want to try it on us?
How strongly do you believe in this core? Does the core need to be broken up?
Yeah.
And when you speak of the four, talking about 4 guys.
5 guys. I know it rhymes, 4, but 5 guys. I put Morgan in there.
You put Morgan in there.
I put Morgan in there. Yeah, he's part of this.
The live 5. No, it doesn't
there
work.
There you go.
No, sorry. So
have they all gotten phone calls already saying they're safe, you know?
Yeah, looking back at that last year, that is a bit of a pivotal moment, right?
There is no phone calls. They are safe. We all have no moves, man. Where do you ask me if I'm feeling safe or not?
But there's a conversation to be had about those no moves.
I get that. That's fair.
So what do you think that the Leafs can take away from this season that can be a part of next year's Stanley Cup victory? What are the pieces that they're going to hang on to get
there? First, folks.
We're focusing on the negatives from that series because they lost.
Right.
But
one more goal.
Simone Benoit was a great story this year. You know, great that they got him at a cheap deal. Bobby McMahon, if he can stay healthy, great story from this year. Matthew Nyes blew me away with his performance, unshook by the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, fantastic in overtimes. He played every period the same, big guy that kind of realized he was a big guy. And him poking at David Pastrnak, sticking up for Morgan Rielly and saying, no, go me. I thought that was a fantastic moment. The guy's only 21 years old. He's a bright light. So there are positives to take from this. Joseph Woll, when healthy, stood on his head. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So maybe he needs to have an offseason where he needs to figure out what he needs to do so he's not so fragile. So there are bright things. And you know what? Austin, when he was healthy, was good. Willie scored the last three goals for this team. Once he got his, you know, migraine issue under control, I thought he was good. Made an impact in the games he did play. So it's certainly not all bad. The other thing is the character they showed. They put together two or three of the best defensive games I've ever seen them play.
Positives on the Leafs. I'm glad we had that ask. Because to be honest, there was a lot. You don't go seven games without some good things happening.
Do you expect Mitch Marner to start the season? John Tavares, they've got the last remaining years on their deal. If change has to come, are they at the top of the list for you?
Yeah, except for John, let's start with John. I'd be shocked if he's not wearing a Maple Leafs uniform at training camp. You know, just the tone he speaks with, he wants to stay. He's got three kids here, raising a family here. The other thing is, if you trade him, you're going to either eat salary and or have to put a sweetener a la Patrick Marleau. And we saw...
I'm not sure about that.
You think someone would take $11
million? No. The Leafs would have to eat a portion of his last year, but it would still free up like $6 million if they ate 50%. You could add a pretty good player to save $6 million. And he's still got the ability to score 55, 60 points. And here's the biggest sweetener here is that a team that's under the salary cap doesn't care that it's $11 million. It's not $11 million. It's minimal. You're getting John Tavares for $775,000
salary
because his signing bonus is $10 million, and you get the Leafs to eat that.
Yeah.
You following me?
When that's paid July 1st, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, so I understand it from the acquiring team's point of view. Nick, where I would push back is the teams that have cap space are generally not contenders. And this guy's he's only gotten to the second round twice in his life. His legs are losing some of the jump. Like,
Luke,
he wants to win.
Luke, he could still help you get into the playoffs. Any team that has aspirations to get into the playoffs, he can still score. Mm-hmm. It may not have the legs to contend as a number one or number two centerman for a championship caliber team, but he can still help you get in the playoffs. I think there would be a lot of teams interested in getting John Tavares at the right price.
No, I'm agreeing with you that teams would be interested. I just don't know if he'd be interested.
Would he be interested in being a fourth liner here, playing every other night?
But he's not going to be on the fourth. Who's playing center? Who's moving up? Kampf?
It's a pretty Minton. Limited hole. Is Holmberg going to score a
Minton.
Goal?
Yeah. Domi? You got some options.
Well, hey, listen.
It's complicated. Hey, how much do you want to
get? How hardball do you want to get if you're the Leafs to clean this up?
Well, it is a fascinating conversation. Again, he does hold the cards. I just can't see him wanting to do it. But you're right. You're right. If they would be mean to him and say you're not going to play or whatever, but that's tough to see too for a guy who chose to come here, hometown boy.
No, it's over.
What do you mean it's over?
Being nice is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that would be a fascinating little...
Do you feel like... Do you have some knowledge that they feel like being nice is over? Or just from your point of view?
Me, you, and everybody in the city.
We're just throwing things to the wall here.
Chewing the fat here.
All right. That's going to be a fascinating one.
Luke's looking for a scoop now. Eh?
Well, you know, you put him on the scent of a new topic. So... You know, as they head towards what is this weird Friday press conference, whatever, they've got a couple of guys who helped a lot, played the first line in Domi and Bertuzzi, who made $3 million and $5.5 million. Both guys were good, right? They're good players for them. Do you think they'll both be back? And if so, you know, any sense for what that might cost?
No, I don't think they'll both be back. I just don't think there's going to be enough money. I think they both want term. I think they both bet on themselves on 1-year deals. And now that they've gotten some spotlight and had decent series, you know, that slow starts, strong finishes in my mind for both guys. They're going to want some more money. Had a chance to talk to both of them yesterday. Both, you know, as every free agent should say, they're willing to come back. I asked Domi specifically about term, and he said, oh, well, that's not up to me. And I would say, well, you're the free agent. It is kind of up to you if you want term. But I think both had good fits. Bertuzzi said that his family really liked it here, you know, but Noel Acciari said similar things at the end of last
but
year, right?
Max
so you take it with a grain of salt.
Max is but ahead I think of Bertuzzi for the Leafs wanting one of two back.
Yeah. Listen, I liked Max.
Listen, Max showed an ability to play center. He showed the ability to run shotgun with Austin Matthews. He's shown the ability to be able to handle the market. Come on, those things are big.
Did we ever see more than a game of Domi, Matthews, Marner all year? One game, maybe?
They have a couple bump-up shifts, yeah. But I agree with you, Nick, in that his ability to play center was huge. And when they brought him in, they envisioned him as a winger, and then he didn't really get his legs going until they moved him to center midway through the season.
But he's not going to be a centerman when they win a playoff round and that cup next year, guys. Right?
And I say this with a grain of salt on there might be an outside shot that Easton Cowan could come in and maybe fill a void left by a Bertuzzi. I know it's a long shot. I know he's got another year of eligibility. He can't be sent to the minors, but he's close.
Really? He had a hell of a year, huh?
He's close. That's a conversation for tomorrow. We'll get more into
Do you want to rush such a value? That's the best prospect.
I'm willing to have that conversation, and it's legit. And you make a very valid point, and that's where you better know your prospect.
I'm on Team Rush, everyone. If you can play in the league, go play in the league.
Luke,
I'm not a prospect at all.
It's legit. And we're running out of time, but that's a good conversation to have.
Okay.
Good luck on Friday, pal.
All right. Hey, it'll be interesting.
We're watching, and we're looking forward to you, rattling the cage a little bit.
I know
on Friday.
Steve Simmons missed the last one. I think he'll probably be there on Friday, so he can throw some grenades in there, and you can follow up.
He should show up with all the covers of the Toronto Sun.
Answer your next.
Yeah.
Hold right. it up. Yeah. You don't see my cover; right. It's invisible.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate your time.
All right, Luke Fox. Sportsnet.ca.
We got a text. Kabuki is a form of classical theater in Japan, known for its elaborate costumes and dynamic acting. The phrases kabuki theater, kabuki dance, or kabuki play are sometimes used in political discourse to describe an event characterized more by showmanship than by content.
Well, it's actually a wrestling term as well, I believe.
So okay. I'm more confused than ever if I used it.
I don't think you did.
I don't think
properly.
You did either. He didn't offend anyone, and that's important.
Whoa! No knock on the door from HR.
No, you're clean. You're in the good.
Okay, that's good.
The Tavares. Come on.
What?
You think he's going to go...
play for the Blackhawks?
It's obviously a tremendous honor for him to play for the Leafs, so he's not going anywhere.
Obviously,
listen, I'm just telling you that you got to look at everything.
I saw Habs podcast today talking about him going there.
You're trying to transition now. You got to talk about taking the C off of him for next year, too.
I got to tell you, my honest truth is that I respect Tavares, and I like him, and I think he's a wonderful human being, but he's a problem for the Leafs. Not just the money, but like his performance, I don't know what his actual value is in dollars, but I do think that at half the price, you could probably find someone that you could get as much or more out of.
If you ran his
different
Leafs career through 10 separate simulations, this is probably the worst possible outcome, like of how it's gone.
Sure.
Right? Like it's, you know, he signed here, it's for 7 years, and they got out of the first round once, and like, you know,
Montreal just, series and things just didn't
it's just
quite
gone
go.
Bad.
Like, oh, it's a winner to win a playoff round.
That was awesome.
Yeah. The other mistake they made too is the last year shouldn't have been all signing bonus.
Well, that makes him more tradable, doesn't it?
No, it makes him less tradable because you can't, or yeah, maybe, but.
Oh, you can't buy him out.
Buy him out.
Yeah.
They should have set it up. If you knew that his legs would have been an issue.
But he knew that too.
You think his agent didn't know that?
They should have had a wiggle room where they could buy him out. It would solve a lot of issues. Help, alleviate, sorry, not solve.
I don't think they got many No one cut them any slack on those deals.
Those stars.
All right. Once again, we solved nothing on the show. We just upset a lot of people. Or at least I did. That's all right. Okay. We go national with Marty Turco, former NHLer, three-time NHL All-Star. We'll talk Dallas Stars, Colorado next when we return. Real Kipper and Bourne.